She was almost like, this is too much. You're just too dumb.
So, James, was it a ramp?
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And very special guest.
Bree.
Hey, Bree.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, thanks
James,
for that.
James, you're very dear to my heart. I hope you realize that.
Uh-huh.
James, what you drinking?
I am drinking Southpaw, a Vienna-style amber from Eastlake. It's just, it's very tasty, and it's kind of perfect for this weather.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cool, cool. Jenna?
I got a Dr. Pepper with the maraschino cherry liqueur. So it's a cherry Dr. Pepper, like an adult cherry Dr. Pepper.
Fancy.
It's delightful. I enjoy it.
Hmm.
Huh.
What are you drinking, Salsa?
I'm drinking a bottle of Lafroig.
Jesus.
The whole bottle?
I mean, not the whole bottle. There was probably a few, you know, fingers missing.
One gulp at a time. So it's like a carny bottle of Lafroig?
A carny bottle of Lafroig is going to be my next cocktail hour.
Ooh.
I was going to say my Flogging Molly's cover band.
Yeah.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good.
Bree, do you have a beverage?
I am currently drinking a pure La Croix.
Ooh, you're one of those people.
I am.
And pure?
That means unflavored.
They're all unflavored.
This is even more unflavored than the rest of them.
So it's just bubbly water?
Yes.
It's club soda.
It is literally just soda water.
It's just
no
club soda.
No whatsoever.
Pretending to have lime or watermelon. Yeah. Cool.
I like
whatever.
This one because it's not trying to be something it isn't.
Yeah.
That's fair.
No one in the next room accidentally thought of limes while they were bottling it.
Exactly. If I want flavor in it, I can add the limes myself.
Ooh. That's fair.
I prefer gin-flavored bubbly water.
I have to tell you about a drink I discovered yesterday.
Yeah.
I was introduced to the idea of a margarita.
Hmm.
But instead of using ice for the basis of the margarita, you take those freezy pops from when you were a kid and crush those up.
Yeah.
And put those in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And everything else is the same.
Yeah.
So you, yeah, right?
I have freezy pops in my freezer right now.
My mouth started watering.
What do you mean when I was a kid?
So I crushed up 4 orange freezy pops and put them in the glass, mm-hmm. and then margarita mix and tequila.
This is why when I made the Applejack, I kept the ice.
Yes. Yes. I think you mean when you accidentally stumbled over the Applejack that someone made some.
No,
at some
when
time.
I made it at home.
Right. Yes. Salsa. Good job picking up the joke. Thank you.
No, not a problem. What are they going to do? Arrest me? I'm white.
I mean, technically, that is what they will do to you instead of the other alternatives.
Yeah, no, that's
correct.
That's fair.
Sorry.
No. We've been discussing things a little bit here and there. So
yeah.
Speaking of discussing things, we were not around last
week. Segue.
We were not around last week, and I should probably say why. I did not have a good week, y'all. I had a pretty crap week. Monday, I spent the day home all day, sick as a dog. Just not doing well at all.
What kind of dog?
A Chihuahua.
Oh, that's very sick.
Wow, that is pretty sick, yeah.
So I was sick all home all day on Monday. I mean, of course I was home. I guess that goes without saying. I was in bed all day sick on Monday. And then I felt a lot better. And, you know, I woke up on Tuesday. I was feeling pretty good. And I think it was Tuesday. My family, we were hanging out in the living room. And my wife starts showing my daughter some Taekwondo moves. Because my wife is a black belt in Taekwondo. And so she started demonstrating, you know, some just very basic forms. And me being the, you know, dumbass that I am, I'm like, oh, you know. So I start showing, I wrestled in high school, so I was like, here's a couple of wrestling, you know, exercises and stuff like that. And I promptly rug burned the shit out of my knees.
Oh,
yep.
That's the least fun way to get rug burn on your knees.
I know, it was awful. It was really dumb, and I felt really stupid, and I also just was like, now my knees hurt, and I can't wear shorts, because they, like... The bottom hem of my shorts is right at knee level, and so they like rub on there, and so like it's been awful.
Finally, the excuse to not wear pants that you've been looking for.
Yeah, and but I mean, like, even, you know, like I'll wake up in the morning and I'll like bend my knee and everything will like the scab will start to peel. Like, it's just everything is terrible.
Thanks for that.
Everything is terrible. And that's what I've been living through for the past few weeks, is just, you know, scabby bloody knees.
It wouldn't hurt as much if you stopped squeezing the lemon juice into it.
But lemons are so tasty and they're good for my skin.
I mean, that's true. But maybe
she has a point.
Maybe less salt?
No, you gotta have the salt. It's what gives the lemon juice body.
Oh, okay.
Plus, it keeps the ice from forming.
Yeah, and I mean...
Oh, that's sure. No, I get that. Okay. No, that, all right.
Plus, the tequila just doesn't taste the same without the other two.
That's fair. Although now you can add freezies to the list.
Wow.
You're supposed to ice it, right?
Exactly! Exactly!
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. So that my last week was pretty miserable, and there was just like other things. Like, we had a storm, and so my already sore knees were locking up and stuff like that. It was rough. And my tattoo is flaking all over the place, and I'm taking care of that. And it was a rough go.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is your tattoo doing?
You need a hug?
Pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, god damn, that's holding its color nice.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Ooh.
You've been babying the shit out of that thing, haven't you?
Oh yeah. Damn right. I on a scale of 1 to salsa, I number 10 to this thing. like my wife was like, even I wasn't this careful with it when I got mine, and I was like, that's because I'm me and I obsess about shit. So
I was about to say, you went into hyper focus, and that's all that was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. This the direction said do this, and I did that.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I'm super, super, super happy with it. It's so pretty.
And it'll be pretty forever.
Mm-hmm. But more recently, so. Due to everything going on in the world, my company's trying to cut costs a little bit. And one of the way they're trying to balance the books a little bit is to cut down on PTO balances.
Oh.
Okay.
We're allowed to have up to 150% of our allotted PTO.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're allowed to accrue rollover into the new year, everything like that. In order to make our accounting books better, they're trying to have people use PTO instead of accrue it. They want us down to 40 hours by December 31st, which means I have to use my vacation time above 40 hours before the end of the year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I am not going to be working Friday again until September. And why I'm taking now 2 weeks off at the beginning of August to go to Yellowstone. Because I have to. Oh, darn.
Times are tough.
I know, it's rough.
Yeah. What a
rough life.
I know. So our Yellowstone trip is going to be extended a few days. We're going to get into the Grand Tetons a bit more, spend some time there. And, you know, meander a little bit on the way back to and from, spend some more time in the Badlands, spend some more time at, like, Devil's Tower and stuff like that. So,
sure.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
You okay, James?
Yeah, Grand Tetons means big boobs.
It really doesn't.
Now I want to know for sure.
Who's next? Who did things?
Yeah.
I have things. I had very exciting things this last weekend.
All right.
Well, not this weekend, the weekend before.
Sometime weekend between now and the last time you were our guest.
Oh, yes. Oh, geez. Well, this episode's going to be 4 hours long.
No, it is a thing that happened sometime between now and the last time she was a guest.
Well, actually, this is something James and I did together. We had the combined Twin Cities Improv Festival / Black and Funny Improv Festival virtually from Huge, which was absolutely amazing, and I did not realize how badly I needed that.
Mm. I believe it.
Just the joy of getting that energy back into the theater has been something missing in my life, and especially like that specific energy of the Black and Funny Improv Festival and what that brings to our community and to the people I get to work with.
Right. Mm.
Holy shit. It really brings the people that I get to be around alive doing that one. And James and I took some of the workshops together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. James, your thoughts on the workshops?
Resoundingly good.
Before I delve into them.
Yeah, no, I had an absolute blast doing that. I actually ended up recommending that the next time Huge does those online courses, like I have three people that I'm going to that I was talking to tonight about it, that I will be recommending those classes to them as well.
We're trying to do more. It's something that we recognize how much our community needs it. Like when all of this first started, it was a little bit of like, we don't know how much the community wants online content, wants to produce online content, wants to take online content, and this festival really like lit up that spark of, oh yeah, we do need each other. We really need to be around each other, even in this format. And it highlighted how alone a lot of us were feeling through all of this. I know me especially, like I am such an extrovert that not having the people that I normally go to work with on crazy issues, I didn't realize how much it had been getting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment that I was in the theater getting ready to stream these shows of POC improvisers from Zoom from all across the country, and John got up on stage, John Gavrotatios got up on stage to host and was telling everybody to stay hydrated, and it just lit that fire again for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, okay, what shows do I want to propose? How can I do them virtually? How can I get back into this again?
Yeah.
So that's what I've been focusing on, besides, you know, not having a job or a life.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, nobody's going to say anything about that.
Nope.
Yep. It is.
Like,
I think.
Like, the two hosts of this podcast are all tech people working from home, so.
I know. I've been debating getting a job at the liquor store across the street from me.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Discounts.
Just to have something to do. I'm not even the discounts. Just to have something to do.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah?
You would not believe how many things I have knit out of boredom.
Can you list them all?
I have, just that I can see, 2 shawls, a cowl, and a shirt. And I'm currently working on another shawl and a pair of socks.
That's 5.
Right. And that's just within visual right now.
Just within visual.
Yeah.
I'm also almost done with a complete Marvel movie rewatch.
Nice.
Movie and
wow.
TV.
Jeez. That,
I'm on
wow.
Cloak and Dagger right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Salsa, weren't you doing that?
I got stuck because Cloak and Dagger is not on, you know, Netflix or Amazon or Disney.
It's on Hulu, yeah.
I've already got 3, for fuck's sake. I don't want to have a fucking 4th streaming service.
Salsa, we should talk about that because I might be able to assist.
Cool. Yar har fiddle dee dee.
Yeah, so I actually because the Marvel thing stalled because of Cloak and Dagger, I've actually gone back to working on that Doctor Who marathon I started all those years ago.
Ooh. 10 full years ago at the beginning of this podcast.
However long ago that was. I'm almost to Colin Baker. I'm like 3 episodes from Colin Baker.
Colin Baker?
Yes.
Oh. Tom Baker?
No, Colin. But Tom, I just finished Tom Baker. I'm going to be doing Colin Baker soon.
Oh.
Doing.
So I'm in like 1982, I want to say.
I think I started doing that a while ago, and I made it through the first season of Tom Baker.
Mm.
And then I stalled out, because I was getting the DVDs when Netflix still had the DVD service.
That's what I'm doing. Oh. Is Netflix still does have the DVD.
Do they?
That's how I'm watching them.
Okay, it was before they split it into 2 services.
Okay.
So that means that if either of you was ever looking for one of those DVDs and it was already rented out...
You had it!
I totally had it.
Marvelous.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of those early episodes were hard to come by, and so the ones
you said 10 years ago?
No, this was probably like 6 years ago, I think, maybe, that I started that.
Mm-mm.
No?
As someone who has listened to almost all of the entire podcast, no.
Okay, I'll take
I'm going to say it was like 8 or 9 at least.
Still, more than 5, less than 10.
Because I'm going to point out, I would have been doing this in the time between when I met my ex-husband and got divorced. So it would have been 2012 to 2015.
Possibly the same time frame, yeah.
Pretty much exactly when you're saying you're doing it. So yes, we probably were fighting over DVDs.
I mean, I think we were still recording at Matt's.
Possibly.
When you started this.
No, but I've had one of the Doctor Who DVDs sitting on a shelf for the past 4 years or whatever it's been.
God damn it, Salsa, you're the reason I quit. I'm going to look at my list
okay
and
with
see
that.
If it's the one that...
Friends, if this is the same one I am... If this is the same DVD... that's going to be like, yeah, like Jenna did, chef's kiss, just
but yeah, it was beautiful. Basically, like a lot of those early ones, they either don't exist or they were out or something like that.
The and weird was, animated ones, oh my god, those are so ridiculous.
One of the weird animated ones, a lot of the early episodes that they didn't have, mm-hmm. I just read the Wikipedia synopsis so I would at least know what happened in the storyline, so that when the next episode came, I at least had an idea of what had happened previously.
I might be able to assist the two of you with this.
I am in, let me see. Yeah, I am just in March of 83 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So there's a network that is free and has really miserable ads, but again, free. Called Pluto TV, and it's available for portable devices and also like Amazon Fire Sticks, Google Chrome, and Apple TV. And you can, and probably PlayStation and all of that stuff. And you can watch old Doctor Who episodes on Pluto TV. It is running a 24/7 marathon, and it takes a little over, I think, 7 or 8 days for it to loop.
Huh.
So you can just binge watch episodes when it's on the same area of the marathon that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick it back up. If you, you know, go to lunch or something like that, you can just pick it up when it loops again.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. That's how I watched every episode of Adam's Family. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's the marathon I'm in the middle of at the moment, going back to the DVDs.
Nice.
So.
And then eventually, when you return that DVD, Bree can watch it.
Well, no, I'm way past where she's at now.
Mmm.
Yeah, because the last one I remember was with the guy. He still had the guy in the kilt as his...
Jamie?
Oh, Jamie.
Jamie,
yeah.
Jamie Frazier.
And they had been on the planet with the games. It was like a... Oh, God, what was the name of that episode? It was the one where he stayed behind.
Where Jamie... Mm. Well, the last episode with Jamie?
Yeah. Wherever that is.
Spoilers to anyone.
I feel like we might be a few months outside of the spoiler range for this.
Spoilers for a show that was recorded before you were alive.
This was definitely before
handy.
I was alive.
Whoa, yeah.
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 Well, not all of our listeners are as young and sprightly as we are.
Oh, that's true.
Right. Okay, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, no, now that...
Jamie McCrimmon, that's what it was. Jamie McCrimmon, not Frasier. Jamie McCrimmon.
Yeah, so where is that? I don't even know what episode that was. Why do I remember that that's where I was at, though? Wow.
That's your long-form improv brain.
War Games. See, I told you, Games. The planet with the gate. War yep. Games.
That was his last episode, was War Games.
I'm impressed that I remembered that.
What year was that episode?
That was 76, somewhere. 76, 77. No, that would have been earlier. That would have been late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because, yeah, that was still... That was... Wait, Jamie McCrimmon?
This is fascinating radio.
I'm sure.
He
was with the second Doctor.
Was he?
Yeah, he was with Patrick Troughton.
Oh, so I wasn't into Tom Baker. I just remember he was... That's where I...
Tom Baker
maybe
is
I went back.
Doctors.
I ended up with some discs because, like, I was on a wait list for some, so I went back and watched some. So maybe that was the last episode I watched, but it was out of order.
That That's entirely possible.
That makes sense.
Because someone probably had them salsa.
If you're trying to make me feel bad about that, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah, salsa doesn't have feelings. That's not
no, he has like
the point of the podcast.
Feeling. He has an feeling.
Yes, annoyed? It's antisocialism.
That's fair.
So you're saying he and I are dealing with all of this the complete opposite.
Right. Actually, though. Actually.
I'm saying that Salsa has the one feeling rented out.
Salsa, I need something from you.
Okay.
Is it that fucking Doctor Who DVD?
I really want it to be.
No, not this time. So, my mother came to visit me this past weekend.
It wasn't me.
Because she missed
whatever
me.
She says, that was not me. I was drunk. She was drunk. Don't.
And she did the sweetest thing. So, if you were in on this, thanks. Weird, but thanks. but we. I had told her how much I enjoyed using Mike's and Laura's KitchenAid when I was over there last time. And so she was like, well, let's look at their website and just like look and see what kind of features they have and if there's a certain one you like, and I can keep an eye out for it being on sale and maybe that could be your birthday present this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're digging through the KitchenAid website and she's like, what color would you want? And I'm like, Mom, if you're looking for ones on sale, I'm not going to get much of a color choice because the ones on sale are usually that shitty teal that I hate. Whatever, I'd prefer silver, black, or red, but I'll take what I can get.
Right.
And we're digging through, and I click on one that's like an orange copper color, and it says out of stock, which I figured. And then it pops up with this thing on the side, and it says, you can't get this one, but try looking at this other similar style. And I click on it, and it's the mini version of the KitchenAid, so like the 3.5 quart instead of 5, which I actually prefer because it's easier for me to lift, in actual copper, not like a copper color, actual copper.
Wow, neat.
And I'm like, that is gorgeous. Look at it, poke around in it. Originally, it's their premier line. So I'm sure you can guess. Premier line, originally $579.
Nice.
On clearance for $209.
Damn.
Jeez. Damn.
And she's like, is this, like, ideal? And I'm like, I cannot imagine a more perfect KitchenAid for me. And she's like, put it in your cart right now. We don't want to miss this. Just like that.
Nice.
And she's like, what's the first thing that you're going to make with it? And I'm like, well, I've never made bread before. I really want to make bread. But I don't have any bread recipes. Salsa.
So you need a bread recipe? Is that what you're saying?
I need a bread recipe.
Okay. Did you get a dough hook for this mixer? Or?
I think it comes with one.
Good. That helps.
I'll find out for sure on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that, at some point. We should probably wrap this first segment up, and then we can talk afterwards. But yeah, there's a few recipes I can think of.
Jenna, did you talk about a thing?
I haven't yet, but we can wrap up this segment.
Sure.
Let me say one thing, because life has been kind of boring for me. I've been in, like, a weird zone head bubble thing where I'm just zoning out and fucking off in my own brain for a bit.
Uh-huh.
But this past weekend was the 4th of July weekend. Yay! And there were no official fireworks displays, so my neighbors all decided, I was actually over at Joe's, and Joe's neighbors all decided that they were all going to have their own fireworks display.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was annoying because I couldn't get to bed until 2, even though I got tired at like midnight. That was frustrating. But it was cool for a little while. Like, Joe and I were just in his backyard, and like all of his neighbors were setting off fireworks, and they were like above our heads. And I used to have a huge fireworks phobia, and I can talk about that later if people want it, but I've gotten better about it over the years. So it was actually kind of cool to be watching these fireworks displays and all of this stuff. We were in his backyard, which is across the alley from a church. And after a while, one of the lights in the church went on.
Okay.
And Joe looked at that, looking around, and said, "Oh, come on, y'all. You woke up Jesus. Tomorrow. It's Sunday." I fucking died laughing.
I love him.
Yes.
Oh, he is a treasure. He is
not
a delight.
The same way you do, clearly. Or
no,
do I?
No.
Or do I?
I kind of between the two of you, although I think Joe and I should have a conversation if that's happening.
About how to wash with bleach?
Yeah, it sounded like a war zone over at our house.
Yeah.
It sounded like we were being shelled with mortars.
Yeah.
Oh well.
But anyway, yeah, that was pretty much the most exciting thing that happened to me.
Yay.
Just tired and
exciting,
not bleh. So. Mm.
Well, should we take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need more booze.
Oh well, then yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
I'm too tired, like a bicycle. You're so lame, you gotta ride a tricycle. That's ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I'm Salsa.
No, I would say your wife is frigid like an icicle. Ooh. That, yeah.
Oh.
See?
So we
but
were.
She's not.
I took a musical improv course.
We were playing.
Oh, God.
But we're back. By the way, I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Brianna.
And we are consummate professionals.
Earlier, James, yes. And you just talked right over him like a jerk.
It's true.
Aware. Yeah. Yes.
So you can be surprised by it.
In my defense, it's Salsa.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's your defense.
So every Friday, my wife and I and a bunch of our friends, we play Jackbox games online.
Nice.
We have
What? What?
Okay.
I was being excited.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were just surprised Salsa had friends.
They're my wife's friends, to be fair.
This makes a lot more sense.
On one of our computers, we have the games, the actual Jackbox games, and then on the other computer, we have a Zoom chat going with everybody else playing the games.
Oh, sure, sure.
And there's one, I don't remember the name of the game, but it's robots in a rap battle.
Oh.
What?
I'm not familiar with this, but I need to play it.
It's actually kind of fun. It works a lot like a lot of the similar Jackbox games type thing. Like, they give you a prompt and you have to like put in a proper noun or something like that. And then it writes the first line of lyric using that proper noun at the end, and then you have to write the second line that rhymes with the first line.
Mm.
And then the same thing happens. They give you another prompt, and you fill it in, and that's the third line of the. And then you have to write a fourth line that rhymes with the third. And so you write a four line rap battle lyric. But then the text-to-speech is actually pretty good on it. And so the robots actually do the rap battle.
Nice.
And then everybody votes on who was better. And it was ridiculously fun. Like, we all kind of went in going, I don't know about this one. And then we played it and we're like, oh no, this was actually
okay. Yeah.
Pretty good. So,
from zero to complete buy-in.
Yeah. No, that sounds delightful.
And the,
in 30 seconds.
And yeah. Then I bought a Drawful shirt.
Oh?
Yeah. No, not Drawful. TKO.
Would you care to describe your TKO shirt?
So for those that... Do you guys know what TKO is?
I do.
Brianna?
I do not.
Okay, so TKO is another Jackbox game. It's T, like T-shirt. TKO. And what it is the first thing you do is everybody draws a bunch of pictures. It's okay. You've got like X number of time to draw as many pictures as you can. Then the next step is write as many phrases as you can. Just throw whatever it is out into the universe. The next round is everybody gets roughly, you know, three or four pictures and three or four phrases that they have to kind of mix and match until they find a good combination that they like and is really funny. And then everybody kind of, you go through and you vote on which shirt you like the best. But at the end of the game, you can buy any of those shirts and they will actually print them for you and make that shirt for you. So the one I got is it was one that it was like the picture was like a bunch of grass, long grasses with like the silhouette of like a shadow of a person kind of peeking through the grasses, and then the phrase at the bottom was the way forward is perilous ... but there will be cake.
I'm for it.
And I was I kind of have to get this.
Yeah, that's a good shirt.
That's lovely.
There was a couple other really good ones that I almost got and decided against. Like, there was one that was just a succession of smaller Pac-Mans, and like the phrase and the phrase was like, his death will bring me great joy.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I think my favorite t-shirt I ever got off that game, I didn't buy it, but that came up. The one that bounces to mind was a picture of a rainbow. And underneath it, it said emo AF.
Nice.
I'm just like, excellent.
A friend, yeah, the reason I decided to do this is because a couple weeks ago when we were playing, one of our friends bought a shirt. And it was similar. It was like one of those, you know, lovely pictures of like, this is a nice picture. And then under it, it's something along the lines of like, there are bees. or something about bees. So
I do enjoy bees.
That's kind of been my social life for the past, you know.
Hugging bees?
Yeah. No, the past couple months, that's been our social life, is playing Jackbox games with our families on Friday.
Nice.
I'm sorry for derailing the topic. What were we going to talk about?
We were going to talk about 80s movies.
We were going to talk about 80s movies. We're going to talk about 80s movies. Because that's a thing.
It is.
What's your favorite 80s movie?
I have three favorite 80s movies.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Name four I actually of love them.
Almost okay. Well, then I'm going to include Legend in there.
Okay.
Right. Tough but fair.
Yeah.
No, my top three 80s movies are, depending on my mood, Princess Bride.
Good call.
Okay.
Willow.
Good call.
Ooh.
And Labyrinth.
Good call.
Ah.
So those are my top three, depending on my mood. Princess Bride was always the one that I watched when I was sick.
Aww.
Yeah. Right? He's just like, I'm sick. Well, then watch a story about a kid who's also sick getting a story read to him. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Willow just kind of always like was more of like my fun, happy brain zone movie. And Labyrinth is where I realized I was bisexual.
Well, there's that.
Yep. I mean, I will admit that Jennifer Connelly was one of my first crushes, too.
Yep.
So brave.
So, yeah, that's... I also just really like Labyrinth for Labyrinth's
sake. Oh, yeah.
Huh?
I said, oh, yeah.
Hmm. So, I mean, yeah, those are my three favorites. I think the best one, what I would consider the best one out of those three, would be Willow.
Mm.
There's something about Willow as such a phenomenal fantasy story that plays to different ideas really, really well. But has a lot of good character moments.
Like, I think, still never managed to watch that entire movie without falling asleep.
And for some people, whatever, that's fine.
I try. Like, I want to. I really want to.
Yeah.
But every time I've tried, I've fallen asleep, and I don't understand it. I've probably seen the entire thing in chunks.
Have you ever tried watching it like at 3 p.m?
Yes. That is the best time for naps.
That's accurate.
Afternoon.
I dwell after in darkness a nap. Without you and you go to sleep?
Oh my god.
Apparently something about that is just like this entrancing sleep potion to me.
Mystery Science Theater does the same thing to me.
At a certain point though, like Bree, at a certain point, if it happens to you so many times, now you're just conditioned to fall asleep to it.
Yeah,
apparently.
Pavlovian response, right?
Yeah.
But it means that I know if I'm not feeling good, I can put that on and I'll fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, all right. Willow off guard, sleep aid.
Yeah,
there you go.
I can't. I'm way too busy quoting every line.
Every fucking line. It's a good quotable movie. I also love just how the use of the underdog doing underdog things to save the day. I fucking love it. The idea that, spoiler alerts, the idea that that a character that is studying to become a magician and that has spent all this time learning magic tricks, like, and is then studying to become a sorcerer, uses magic tricks to win the day is so delightful.
I need to back up to what Salsa said. Isn't the whole purpose of doing the 80s movies that there's no possible way we can have spoilers?
I mean,
this is Jenna we're talking about.
There's
Jenna
that.
Hasn't seen shit.
There's
but
a lot
it's
of
outside places. Of the 18-month spoiler zone.
I mean,
if somebody's watching episode 4 of Star Wars before they've seen any other Star Wars movies, and they move on to episode 5. Like,
18 months after it comes out on DVD, you are free and clear. You don't have to say spoiler.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm still going to warn people, just
you
in
can,
case. There might be spoilers in this segment.
I think you're a dick if you just say things when something's still in theaters. You can say spoiler for a good year after it's come out, but 18 months after it's come out on DVD, you are out of that zone. All right. Given it a year and a half from DVD release.
Okay.
All right.
What's your favorite 80s movie, Brie? It's not.
I mean, Ready Player One.
Fair.
That's basically. It's all 80s movies, right? All of them in one?
Yeah.
No, I would have to say, just by pure, I've seen it more than any other 80s movie, I'd have to say Dune.
Ooh, dang.
Like, that is the movie that I remember watching when I was like 7, 8 years old and just falling in love with and learning how to quote and like... Freaking Mike wrote a vil insult based around that movie and didn't warn me until we were about to go on stage that he would need me to quote a line from the movie, and then didn't tell me what line. He just said I'd know which one and relied that I would have it memorized. And I did.
Well, there's that.
So, I'm going to have to say Dune. Besides Sting in plastic underwear, I'm going to blame that movie for my weird obsession with 80s Sting.
Art Deco underwear.
Right?
Art Deco underwear. Art Deco has to be a cover band team or an improv team, possibly a memoir.
Art Deco underwear is a college short form improv team.
Ooh.
Yes,
all
is.
White male.
Yes.
They don't know how to recruit yet.
No.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Sounds likely.
There's too many. There's too many. There's too fucking many.
That's why I tried saying Ready Player One, because then you just have all of them in there.
It's too many. There's some fantastic, like, you've got animated stuff from, like, Akira to Land Before Time.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got, you know, like, more kids shows, like, you've got Goonies, and then you've got more adult shows, like Top Gun. Was fantastic. I watched a shit ton of that. You've got The Breakfast, Breakfast Club. You've got...
Sure.
There's
Pretty in Pink.
There's too much.
16 Candles. Much, all of the John
too
Hughes
much,
stuff.
Too much. Too much. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. You've got Tron. Tron is in there.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to pick just one.
I can't. No, that's the thing is I can't. Caddyshack, UHF, Last Starfighter.
I need to make an honorable mention.
Okay, so
I need to make an honorable mention.
Okay, go ahead.
I just figured out a way to make Salsa decide.
No, you.
Ooh.
Okay.
No, I've already figured out how I'm going to decide. Let me get there.
Oh, okay.
But let Jenna talk.
Okay, my honorable mention is Gremlins.
Yeah.
I always think of it as early 90s, but it's not. It's mid 80s. Yep. And it is my favorite Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, also, I love that an exploding puppet is the reason why we have a PG-13 rating on movies now.
Because that would be horrifying. Duh.
Right. Yeah.
It is.
It is.
That That's poor puppet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's puppet guts all over.
I chose...
Let me...
Go for it.
So there's too fucking much. The 80s was a golden age of cinema. But because just today or yesterday, we had the death of Ennio Morricone... The famous Italian composer who composed fantastic music, most famously The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But because of him passing, I wanted to throw one of his movies out there and say The Untouchables was a pretty fantastic film from the 80s. So, go ahead, James.
Sure. Well, okay, so there are so many. They like really too many. Never Ending Story, Clue, Three Amigos, those are all 1980s films. UHF, like you mentioned, is one of my favorite films. But if I had to pick three, and if I didn't want to have any repeats, Batteries Not Included.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that one.
Which is, like, exactly my jam. It's like Short Circuit, but it's fucking adorable.
It is pretty adorable.
The Wizard. Starring Fred Savage, a young Fred Savage.
That was like that was like back when Super Mario 3 was released.
Yep. The theatrical movie announced Super Mario 3.
Yep.
Yeah. I love the Power Glove.
I love my glove.
Yeah. so there's that, and then I'm torn between, but I think I have to go with Steve Martin in Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Okay.
So Batteries Not Included is a heartwarming, like, family, slightly comedy, but, you know, kind of almost a Hallmark movie, but it's really charming. And it deals with mental illness and gang activity and stuff. Like, it's all things, all people, kind of, in a very weird 1980s kind of way. And then The Wizard is a terrible movie that I love watching. And Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is what I think Steve Odekirk attempted with Kung Pao Enter the Fist, but I feel like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid did it infinitely better. They put Steve Martin into clips from old film noir in a way that makes a cohesive plot across, like, dozens and dozens of classic film noir. But the plot that they devise is incredibly dumb in a very Steve Martin kind of way. And it's fantastic. And stars Steve Martin and a number of other famous people, but I'm trying to remember the woman's name from she was in Weird Science. And speaking of 1980s,
yeah,
weird ass movies, but yeah, it's hard to pick a top three because that was also Blade Runner, Monster Squad, Maximum Overdrive, which is terrible. Oh, it's just awful. And Aliens came out in the 1980s. It's, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, there's too much.
There is. Yeah. But yeah, those would be my three. Would be Batteries Not Included, The Wizard, and Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Mm. Yeah. I was born the same year that E.T. came out, and my mother thought that I was going to be an alien. And she's not completely wrong. I'm very weird.
You're odd, but delightful.
You know what movie I always think back, and I'm like, yeah, that must have come out in the 80s, and I'm wrong?
What's that?
Waterworld.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always like, yeah, that's totally one of those 80s.
Sure.
No, that is like mid-90s, the height of mid-90s. And I always group that in the shitty 80s world ending.
It belongs there, yeah.
Well, because there was that whole fascination in the 80s with like the world is over kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, that totally belongs in with those. Nope, that's...
Zardoz.
Oh my god.
By the way, Zardoz is Someone just sent me a picture of Sean Connery in Zardoz, and they were like, "You must." And
we lost you, by the way, for the past 5 seconds or so. So whatever you said about Zardoz.
Somebody sent me a picture of Zardoz.
Just before that.
Okay, and so it's my next cosplay.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Please don't.
Too bad.
Okay.
I was about to say, this is happening, Salsa.
Oh, no, if he's going to, I won't shame.
Once it happens, you won't shame, but until then, you're going to try and prevent?
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with trying to prevent, but I won't shame.
Yeah.
I will beg, borrow, steal, and plead, but I won't shame. I have standards.
One of Joe's neighbors came up with my new favorite phrase.
Yeah?
They were just outside, like, talking in the backyard. And Joe and I go out for a cigarette, and we overhear one of them go, "Kink shaming is my kink." I'm just like, okay, buddy.
That is a legitimate thing that I know exists.
Sure.
As funny as it is, I did once have somebody ask me to participate in a session where they were humiliated for their kink because that was what they wanted.
Yeah. But I just liked it as a phrase.
It is good. Dear listeners, what are your favorite 1980s movies and why?
I thought you were going to ask them about their kids.
Dear listeners,
that too.
On Facebook, comment with your favorite 80s movie and your favorite kink, and don't tell us which is which.
Yes.
Batman for both. Batman for both.
That's fair, actually.
Also, legitimately, Clue for both.
Hey, what was? I know everyone's probably answered this a million times on Facebook. What was your Tim Curry movie?
Clue.
Hunt for Red October.
Ooh, that was your first Tim Curry movie
that I remember. Yeah.
Wow.
I watched the shit out of that movie.
All right.
Yeah. That's an outstanding film.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Three Musketeers.
Oh, wow.
It's a tie between those two, honestly. Which one came out first?
Three Musketeers was 93.
Okay, Hunt for Red October was 90, so still Hunt for Red October for me.
But, like, that is the one that I remember watching a million times growing up. Another thing that had Sting in my life early.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yep. At one point I could quote that movie line for line.
I will
I'm
be forever
sure
grateful.
I still can.
When Clue was broadcast on regular television, Channel 9, and my mom was like, I don't know if this is okay for the kids to watch. And my dad said, well, it's on broadcast TV. How bad can it be? Plus, I'm sure that a lot of the jokes are just going to go over their heads. Forever. Yeah. Yep. Forever grateful. Mm-hmm. For that mistake.
Yeah, it was definitely... Hunt for October 1st, and then Three Musketeers 2nd for me.
Okay.
Wow.
I actually think mine was the first one that I very distinctly remember was Clue. Mm-hmm. But a close second would be Rocky Horror, because that's just the community I grew up in.
Sure.
So I distinctly remember having seen Rocky Horror Picture Show by the time I was 12.
Wow.
No. It wasn't Hunt for Red October. It was Annie.
Oh.
Annie was my first Tim Curry movie.
Huh. I didn't even know about that.
That he was in Annie?
Yeah.
Have you not seen Annie?
Apparently not the one with Tim Curry.
Huh.
My, I think...
Tim Curry and Carol Burnett and Bernadette Peters?
No, that sounds phenomenal.
It is!
It really is.
Oh, I need to see this now.
And don't get me wrong, I hate Annie.
We are not switching our movie on Friday, James.
No. Here's the thing. I hate Annie, but it's Tim Curry and Bernadette Peters and Carol Burnett, and they're amazing.
Those are
the three villains, and they're phenomenal.
I don't know what about like a cheerful, optimistic, and socially well-adjusted like orphan would really.
I'm not an orphan.
Be upsetting to you, Salsa.
James, that was really contrived, and I'm sorry. You can do better than that.
That's true.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, there's that. No, I just remembered, I also saw Tim Curry in Home Alone 2, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw that.
I think he was the concierge in...
He is the concierge in Home Alone 2, and it's great.
And I distinctly remember thinking, what is Mr. Body doing in this film?
I believe that.
Yeah. Legend would also have been like right in there.
I didn't see Legend until I was in college.
I didn't see Legend until I was older either.
Huh.
I don't know why my parents thought it was okay for me to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show, but like didn't expose me to Legend. Like,
they don't have taste.
I found that a lot of the people that I grew up with, Willow and Legend was a dividing factor.
Oh.
Like, people had love for one or the other and not both.
Interesting.
For real. Huh.
That is interesting.
What about Never Ending Story? Is that like the...
That was the communal love.
Okay.
Everyone could either, like... They could share that love of Never Ending Story and share their... I like Never Ending Story too, but apparently a lot of people don't.
Do you mean Never Ending Story as well or Never Ending Story 2?
The second.
I also liked it.
I don't know that I ever saw the second.
Don't.
See? Many people don't like it. I enjoyed it.
Salsa, you're siding with many people?
It has a completely different actor. Like, it's not the same kid, it's not the same, like, everything is different, the story is not that good.
Wasn't that one Jonathan Brandis?
I don't know. It was that forgettable.
And he goes into the world, and they... Yeah.
I liked it.
There was the weird ducky things.
No, that's exactly it. Neverending Story was a fantastic movie, and it was self-contained, and then they tried to, like, milk that, and no.
And then the third one?
There's a third one?
What?
Dear God.
I believe that Bree may be pulling our legs collectively, but
I think she's just kind of evil.
Well done. Either way.
I'm the worst. I'm sorry.
Don't be.
Yeah, no.
Not on this podcast. Just, yeah.
Also,
well,
you know it exists.
I don't know that it exists.
Yes, it really does.
Oh, wow.
I must Google this.
Um,
yes, because the sec
I just want to point out,
the third one might be right
first,
on.
The first person listed in the cast, when you look it up, is Jack Black.
Oh my god, this sounds like a porn.
It might be.
No, I will read this line for line.
Uh-huh.
In a prologue, the old man of Wandering Mountain reads from a large book, begins to record a prophecy of a day when the nasty will arrive in Fantasia.
The nasty.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm good.
There's actually a third. All right.
That's very special. Maybe it was like an after school special. Next on a very special never ending story.
It was a Jim Henson film.
Huh.
Special effects by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Well, I mean, there's
so glad
the Dark Crystal.
That I could bring this into your life.
Yes.
I'm not.
Okay, so this brings up a thing. This brings up a thing.
Okay.
I want to talk about Disney for just a second.
Okay.
So, we all know Disney.
Heard of it.
Disney
but do we?
Has a reputation for going above and beyond the Call of Duty to make this amazing, like the amount of research that they do for their movies. You know, they make these movies that are like, you know, you read these synopses of them online and they're like, yes, we created this language based on the, you know, Indus Valley, you know, speakers from the 3rd century because it was the most similar to the feel that we're going through here, and the costumes that they're wearing are based on this tribe and wherever and blah blah blah. And like, the level of detail and quality control is like,
you're talking about Disney now.
Yes.
But yeah, exactly. I'm talking about like this there's this like peak, like it, Disney is synonymous in many ways with perfection. You know, like just like ridiculous perfection. Their parks have been designed in such a way that the music is always, you know, you're always hearing something and you know,
never point gesture with your whole hand open.
Exactly.
Walk,
you know, just
right.
like their attention to detail and crafting this experience is, you know, and like every fucking detail is thought of 27 times by 17 different people to make sure that it is the best that it can possibly be. This is Disney.
Yeah.
And then we have Disney for teens.
Like The Descendants, which
is the biggest pile of steaming feces on the face of the planet. It's worse.
I know people who like it.
It's worse than Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is the biggest shithole possibly known to man. And you're like, what the fuck, Disney? Like,
were they also responsible for Xenon Girl in the 21st Century?
Possibly?
Or was that someone else? Because it's got a very similar feel to it. But yeah, they did a bunch of TV shows and a bunch of everything else. Like, they're just as susceptible.
Yes, that is a Disney.
And it's bad.
It's awful.
A lot of people grew up with it and love Xenon, but they can be wrong. That's okay.
It amazes me.
You spend
me that,
a lot of time watching Disney for teens.
My daughter loves Descendants.
Oh yeah,
my daughter,
like my nephew loves Legos. So
yeah, my daughter adores Descendants. She loves that movie so much. And
but you didn't specify Descendants at first. You said Disney for teens.
Because I was a teenager once, and I saw movies like A Gnome Named Norm, and I saw The Computer Wear Tennis Shoes, and I saw these movies when I was a kid in the, you know, 70s and 80s and 90s. Like, I saw these movies when I was a kid, too. And it blew me away that, on one hand, we had this brand that they will sue the shit out of anyone who besmirches their brand, and they will protect their reputation to the fucking death. And then on the other hand, they put out utter shit.
That's because anyone who is working on the Disney for Teens project is just put in the basement office, and they have a fridge that doesn't work and all of the milk is bad.
Yeah. I once heard a story about Disney in credit to Salsa's description of them being like obsessed with perfection at the parks and things like that. Someone was like, yeah, I wasn't feeling great, but they, when you drink the Kool-Aid, they instill in you like that you are the one responsible for making every person's day, right? Like that without you there, how are they supposed to have a good vacation? And she was telling the story, and she was like, yeah. And I got the day off because I was sick, and I wasn't supposed to have the day off. But I turned to my manager, and with tears in my eyes, I was like, I am afraid that I might make somebody's day less magical. And the manager was like, Oh, okay. All right. Go home. Get some rest.
Yeah. There is. It's this weird, like, bipolar.
I mean, I'm thing. Always scared that I'm going to make somebody's day less magical.
Aww.
You have never made my day less. I've never had a day
Agreed.
Where Brie has entered my life and it has not ended up being more magical.
Agreed.
Thanks, Jana.
Also pointing at himself.
Me, on the other hand.
I know. I was waiting for this. Jesus.
Oh. Salsa's not afraid of it. He embraces it.
Oh, yeah.
Say it, Salsa.
Yeah.
Say it.
You know?
Oh, he meant about your days, not about what I did here.
Without the darkness, how can you appreciate the light?
Aw.
So we have to go everywhere together now, Salsa?
I mean, if you like hating yourself at the end of the day, then yes.
Oh, no, I'll love me more.
Oh, I mean, yes.
That's the correct answer.
I mean, if that's what you're going for, then yes, hanging out with me would do that.
Besides, then I'll have delicious bread.
There is also that.
There is that. Delicious bread and loving yourself more. This is like the best day ever.
Win-win.
Salsa's family is adorable.
Yeah.
They're true.
I mean, if you hang out with
Salsa,
me...
Salsa, I'm moving in.
Okay. I mean...
This is a solid plan.
You might have to sleep on the futon in the basement, but...
And?
But every so often...
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, every so often you get things like, you know...
Pie day?
You know, French pastries and shit like that, so...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Score!
Should we take a break?
Sure.
Yeah, I think we can take a break.
Let's take a break.
It's the 80s, doing lots of coke and vote for Ronald Reagan.
After these messages...
We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
It's okay, Bree. I am also mad at him.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm three.
And we should do a Fast Five. Oh,
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Dennis Zastera. Holy shit, that was terrible.
Yay!
Blame it on the leg. Blame it on the leg.
Yep. Dennis writes, no time for bullshit. Here we go.
Question, oh, damn.
Yep, question number one.
Holding on.
Portrait or question number one.
There we go.
Portrait or landscape?
Oh.
Oh, what are we doing? What are we? Fuck. Designer brain now is just exploding.
I wonder if any other vilifiers have the joke, your mom's so fat, technically all of her pictures are a landscape.
I feel like I've heard something.
Yeah,
like that.
I feel like I've heard something similar.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Ah, shit.
I'm gonna say portrait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I'm just talking about like what way I use my phone camera, I pretty much default to portrait.
Oh.
That's true.
It's a very rare occasion that I ever do something in landscape. And in video, never.
Huh.
See, I'm exactly the opposite. Everything I do is in landscape.
Yeah, same.
I always do my video in landscape, but my pictures in portrait.
Well, but also, I guess, Bree, you do a lot of Instagram stuff.
Uh-huh, and that's probably part of why that things work better on Instagram from...
That makes
sense.
Everything
in Instagram is square. So it doesn't matter.
I mean, it shouldn't matter, but it seems to crop down better.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's fair.
I feel like I've had the opposite experience with Instagram, but oh well.
And part of it might be, too, that I have that Instagram, what is it called? The layout, where you put in the multiple, and that seems to work better with portrait.
Yeah. I don't get fancy at all. I just take a picture.
Sure. I'm going to go landscape because I do use my phone as my camera. And I take a lot of photos of buildings and skies and things like that. And those are inherently, I think, a little better in longer ways than taller ways.
I'm going to say portrait.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really kind of split on this one, but I'm in portrait.
I'm saying landscape because I am way more likely to take a picture of scenery than people.
And I'm way more likely to take a picture of people.
Oh, plus if you're taking a picture of puppets, like, that pretty much has to be. That's a given.
All right. Question number two. High or low?
High or low?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say high.
I'm short, so I have to say low.
I mean, I'm also short, which means I have high aspirations.
I prefer
Shirley is going to answer high, so...
I prefer low temperatures.
Shit. I thought I had my answer all picked out, but that's extremely reasonable. Fuck. I have a way to make that better then. I was going to say high because my default gear for my bike is 3 on the left and 4 on the right, which is a higher gear. And in response to Salsa's temperature thing, I very regularly have my air conditioning set to a higher level, so a colder temperature high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wonder if that's the context. I wonder if they're going to ask us, if you make your air conditioner blow colder, is it high? Are you setting it higher or lower?
Or it could be back to portrait settings.
That's true.
Also true.
Well, I'm not setting my my air conditioner on portrait. It
well, wouldn't I fit the window. Anyway.
Question number three.
Bing.
East or west?
East.
Yeah.
I have now gone on a trip to both the East and West Coast, and I like being able to not use my car once I get in a city.
Oh.
I love cities where I can, even if it's 8, mm-hmm. 10 miles, 15 miles in a day, I love being able to walk everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I prefer the Western Dragon.
Going back to what I believe might be the first Fast Five.
Yeah.
AON Classic.
I wouldn't know.
God, now I want to wear my shirt.
So hard. I tend to prefer Eastern style weapons.
Mm. Ooh. That's a good answer.
That makes sense for you.
Yeah. I'm way more slashy swooshy.
What did you say, Bree?
I said east. Okay. East coast.
I'm going to say west, because that was always the direction when I was growing up and first learning to drive. That was always the direction that would take me home.
Okay.
All right.
Question number four. Left or right?
I'm always right.
Left. That's true.
I sleep in the left hand of the bed. Left side of the bed.
I tend to sleep on my left side. Mm.
When I am the big spoon, I'm on my right side. Mm-hmm. That's my right arm that's stretched reaching out.
But if I'm using my phone to take a selfie, it's usually with my right hand.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fuck.
In portrait mode.
So which one are you going with?
I'm going to say left.
Okay. Question number five.
Bing.
Alchemy or blacksmithing?
Ooh.
I am going to go with blacksmithing on this one, unless... By alchemy, they mean baking.
Right.
Oh.
So I was going to say alchemy either way, because I've always felt like I would be good at potions because I'm good at cooking and baking.
Sure.
Like,
that makes sense.
Potions would be my class at a wizarding school. Like, that would be the one that I ace, no problem.
Right.
See, yeah, in that context, I would go with blacksmithing.
I don't know what... I don't think I would be good at any of the classes.
Nobody's going to gainsay you on that one, James.
Which one do you think I would be good at?
None of
care
them.
Care of magical creatures.
Care of magical creatures.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. That's fair. Yeah. All right.
What they're saying, James, is animal husbandry.
Mm-hmm. What did that?
The tough part is getting the little bow ties on him.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I'm leaning towards blacksmithing.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to do things on high level big strokes rather than very small detail stuff. I'm aware of details, and I am actually pretty good at detail things, but I am in my more comfortable zone looking at things from a high level down and using broad strokes and then fine tuning.
You have just solidified my answer of alchemy for me, because I am very detail oriented.
I appreciate that about you, Bree.
Is that what you appreciate about me?
Oh, so many things
I appreciate about you. But that is one of them, yes.
Of your many fine qualities, that is one. Fuck, that's a hard question. I will go with alchemy, because I will usually try to find a way to automate a process and invent something new and never seen before to make something happen. If it's something that I will have to do. So like if it were blacksmithing, I would be making a press that made shoes for horses or something like that. But like alchemy, yeah.
I want your biography to be entitled Horseshoe Press.
As long it's as my favorite wrestling.
Horseshoe Press would be a really good publishing house name.
Oh.
Mine is Key Any Press. Actually.
Okay, we're going to open up the second email, and Dennis says, "Hey, friendos." The call went out for context from you, so I came up with the following. Hope you enjoy. Question number one, portrait or landscape. What broad category of fine art do you like more?
Oh.
Landscape for me.
Portraits. I think Bree's right. I have to change my answer. Renaissance era portraits have a whole secret language built into them.
It's true. I tend to get more landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think I have to switch to landscape.
Oh, I am so torn on this one.
I know.
Because... Well, like, I'm thinking of my favorite... So the weird thing is, I'm thinking of my favorite paintings, and they're all squares.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Instagram, apparently. But, like, literally, my absolute favorite painting I've ever seen in person is a complete actual square. And...
Oh. What's the subject matter?
It was a... depends on your interpretation, but it was from an Asian collection, and there is debate over whether it was a volcano or a war. So it was a really interesting one, because it could have been like the smoke and the lava, or it could have been a battle with like fires. So it was a really cool painting in that way. But yeah. I would say, in general, I would have to stick with what I said, portrait, because you're right, there tends to be a lot more depth to the ones that have people in them, and there are more people mm-hmm. in portrait-based ones than in landscape, overall. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
We are all satisfied with that. All right. Question number two. High or low? Which is your preferred scotch?
Oh, shit. That's a much harder question than I thought it was going to be.
Significantly harder.
Fuck.
I don't know the answer. Salsa, tell me what my answer is.
Well, what are your...
Well, do you...
Here's my first question. Do you like the scotches that are more evaporatey poofy or the ones that are more...
I don't like peaty.
Okay.
Like, that's my big qualifier, yeah, I don't like peaty.
That's Ile, so that really doesn't play into this much.
What about, smoky versus salty?
I'm hit and miss on the smoky.
Okay.
One of my top choices lately has been Glenlivet.
That one's good.
Where does that fall?
My understanding, if I remember correctly, I think that's a Highland. The internet can tell us.
Ooh, yay. See, I'm still figuring out my scotch taste.
Very fair.
I think I'm overall low.
Are we swapping, Jenna? Are we swapping answers?
Oh my.
I think
that sounds scandalous when you say it that way.
I think I'm gonna go Lowlands. I think low for me. Cause Auchentoshan is Lowland.
Yeah.
And that's a really good one.
Yeah, it is.
Lagavulin, I think, has been my favorite so far.
But Glenmorangie is Highland, so I don't... I'm going to go Lowland, I think. I think I got to lean towards Lowland.
Can you guys hear Jessa gaming right now?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I've just looked up two others that I like. All of them tend to be in the Highlands.
Okay, Highland it is. Are we all good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number three, east or west? Which U.S. American coast has better hip-hop?
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I have no clue.
Well, then you need to expand your hip-hop experience.
I would say that's not fair because Minneapolis wasn't an option.
That's true.
No, but East Coast and West Coast are specific styles.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, you had like Tupac and
Biggie
and Snoop, who were West Coast.
I'll take your word for it. I listened to a lot of Beastie Boys, which is an East Coast thing.
I was about to say, I think I'm leaning East Coast.
I'm looking this up because I'm curious. Sorry, you're going to have to give me a minute.
Yeah,
an entire minute? God.
Biggie was East Coast. Tupac was West Coast. Mm-hmm.
That was my point of contention.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, I I think I need to go with West Coast.
Yeah. Let's see. This is this might be the most Googling I've ever done during a Fast Five.
Let me just one check one thing. Yeah. West Coast. Yep.
I
going with West Coast.
I have to go east.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked up what are the stylistic differences. This is interesting.
Oh, do tell.
Well, East Coast hip-hop does not have a uniform sound or standard style. It tends to gravitate towards aggressive beats and sample collages. West Coast rap, on the other hand, seem to emphasize the gangster lifestyle and seem to be more about actual gang-banging lifestyle.
Hmm.
There you go.
That makes sense, considering what I listened to in high school.
Yeah. I'm sticking with East because Africa Bambaataa is considered East Coast, and that was...
Yeah, looking at the list of...
That's been in my music collection forever.
That I know I'm going to have to stick with East as well.
Mm. See, I gravitated more towards Bone, Thugs and Harmony, and Tupac, and Snoop Dogg, and some more West Coast.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Question number... did Jenna...
Yeah, East.
Okay. It's hard to keep everybody in line. Question number 4, left or right?
I have no idea what that's like.
When walking through the words, it says words. I assume woods, but it says words, and we have to take it as written. When walking through the words and coming to a fork in the road, regardless of which path is more traveled, which direction do you turn?
Left. Always left. It's something from my D&D days.
Yeah.
It's how to find
right
your way through
right
a labyrinth. Yeah.
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 Yep. I would probably go left as well, just because, as you know, as somebody who has grown up in a country where we drive on the left, staying to the left is natural.
No, I'm still right.
Alright. Question number 5. Alchemy or blacksmithing? Which discipline is most like your food best preparation method?
Well spotted.
Throwing sit together, hoping for the best and making gold, cooking or alchemy, or following a strict methodology for tried, tested, and true results, blacksmithing or baking.
Wow.
I disagree with these descriptions.
I also completely 100% disagree with that description. Because feel like alchemy is carefully measured and documented and very meticulous, and blacksmithing is very much an art.
No, yep. I agree with that.
So I feel like these are backwards, but I'm going with baking.
Okay.
Which in this method is tied to blacksmithing, so I'm right. So there.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I do more baking than I do cooking. Or at least I'm... Yeah. I'm going to go baking. So I was right, blacksmithing.
My oven gets used for bread, but it also gets used for a lot of, like, baking vegetables and things like that to prepare them for cooking. So I have to go with cooking, which in this case is alchemy?
Yep.
But I mean...
All right.
It was also the style of... Like, are you someone who follows a recipe or not, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's do you throw things together, yeah. Or are you meticulous?
I throw things together.
And I'm very much somebody who is meticulous, with alterations, but meticulous.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's the thing with my baking is I have to have everything exactly correct. That way, when I do make changes, I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, you would laugh at my counter when I bake salsa because I have everything laid out in my measurement amounts before I even start.
You do proper mise en place, as you should, because you're a civilized person.
And that is the way that I cook, too.
Mm-hmm.
Vive la mise en place.
Like, even making mac and cheese, I will have my butter and my milk measured out.
Because mise en place is the best, and everybody should fucking use it more often. And you should talk to my wife a little bit.
And to me, that sounds like potion making or alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
By this definition, apparently I'm a blacksmith.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We love you, Dennis, but we completely disagree with your
I'm not going to say completely, but I do.
No, okay, not completely, but
we disagree.
We have issues with your premise,
only
but
because I know how many times Mike Blacksmith's drunk.
But it is Dennis's premise, so we have to follow
the
it.
The answer is yes.
I have concerns.
See, when I'm doing blacksmithing, I am a lot more kind of just whatever happens, happens, and when it is when it's the right color, then that's when I should hammer it, and when it's, you know, exactly, things are a little bit more, the metal kind of does what it wants to, and I'm just guiding it.
The same way you make a steak, you by feel, and by...
Exactly, you know, blacksmithing, yeah. I feel, is a lot more by, you know, kind of letting it flow and letting the metal dictate what's happening, whereas whenever
I disagree with the premise, but I have to pick alchemy based on the tenets of the question.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so very much to Dennis for the Fast
Five.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us the context. Who has a shout-out?
I do.
Jenna.
This week I have a shout-out to my doll.
Yay!
I also do. Go ahead, Jenna.
Me too.
You have one to my doll as well, James?
What?
James has a shout out to my doll as well.
It's also great for hangovers, so
yeah. I mean, honestly, anything that helps half the planet to feel better about something that they don't have a choice in is, you know, like, that helps to make that an easier, less shitty process is good. But mine is my friend.
James, do you want to?
Yeah, a dig up. The shout out that I have is to my good friend Charles Barker for putting together a biking group.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've been enjoying bicycling.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jenna, what's your shout out?
My doll?
Were you done?
Basically.
Okay.
Like, yeah. No,
that's,
like,
she's not. That's why she still needs the mitol.
That's why I still need the mitol. Yeah.
Like, you said the word, and then James went off on a thing, so.
There was a weird timing thing with... Ah, fuck off.
I feel that, yes. However, I really didn't have much more to say other than I'm really glad that mitol exists. I have been eating it like candy. That's it.
My video froze three times.
James, it's okay. It's okay, Jesus. James. I'm giving you shit. It's okay.
Wait, what?
It's like you don't even know the point of this podcast.
giving you shit?
Good.
Oh, good.
I love you both.
Do you have a shout out, Bree?
Not that she listens, but I'm just going to shout out to my mom. She got me a KitchenAid mixer, and I'm really excited for this.
Yeah,
and
that is sweet.
It was real good to see her. So
yeah.
I love my mom.
It's pretty dope. I'm going to give a shout out to the website bookstore.org.
Okay.
What it does is it basically connects you to local bookstores, and you can buy books online.
Oh.
Nice.
So that's rad. Who's got something to plug?
I wish.
July 31st. Online, there will be, we are doing Fringemas, you guys. It's been a long time coming.
It's Fringemas at Ground Zero.
No, it's not at Ground Zero. Fringemas is...
I would watch the shit out of that.
I actually would, too. No, let me get through this, goddammit. So, Adventurous Artists is a collection of artists that participate in Fringe that wanted to do something to raise some funds for the Minnesota Fringe Festival. Because they need to raise $100,000 to be able to produce Fringe next year. The Adventurous Artists has pulled together to put together Fringemas, which is an online fundraiser. There will be an auction. Our hosts are Shannon Custer, Duck Washington, and Allison. I can't remember the last name, and I feel really bad about it. But they are very, very strong voices within the local theater community. Fantastic people. We have groups like Whining Sheet, they have a new name now, but the Bollywood group that performs every year.
Nice.
I know, right? Clean, Hit the Lights is doing something. So we have some great performers that will be, it is video, it's all pre-recorded, and it's all done over Zoom. But they're all putting together their things to be able to exhibit for Fringemas. So that will be happening July 31st. Go to Adventurous Artists on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or you could go to adventurousartists.com, find the information. We do not have like a Zoom link up or anything like that yet. However, those are the places that information will exist. So mark your calendar. That evening's going to be fun.
I do have something I can plug. Huge Theater does have a YouTube channel now. I don't know if y'all know that.
Subscribe.
And we have all of the videos from the Black and Funny / Twin Cities Improv Festival up on there. So if you missed it, you can go back and check out those videos as well as many shows from what we've been doing since quarantine started, as well as some of the shows from back in the good old days when we could be at our theater. So, like, you can watch all of Bearded Manor, Bearded Company's Downton Abbey parody show, has all been uploaded to that. So go on our site, watch some of our shows, and support our theater.
Yeet.
And entertain yourself with improv. And we're uploading new stuff on there all the time.
Cool.
Nice. And subscribe.
Yes, please subscribe.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got nothing.
I have one.
Go ahead.
So let me tell you about my doll.
No, I'm waiting, James.
Vilification. It's great for hangovers. Somebody really smart told me that.
Yes.
So the The thing that I have to plug is that there's a Vil 10 Vilification Tennis Interruptus show this Friday at 8 p.m. And I'm in it. So that's exciting and terrifying, but mostly exciting. Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent.
Make sure you get me those links. Anything else?
I need to make sure that I get those links for myself first.
Fair enough. That was a general, you know.
Yes, but also yes.
Anybody else?
You're awesome.
All right, well, I haven't gotten there yet. Any closing thoughts? Now,
Bye, I love you, bye.
That's your cue.
No, I was telling you, Salsa, you were awesome. Now I can tell everybody else they're awesome.
Okay. Oh.
I'm confused.
So are you gonna?
I mean, it was still.
Hey,
it's still.
You're awesome.
It's still a closing thought. Nope, that's all we got. Okay. Thank you so very much to everyone who has been listening to this podcast. Thank you to Dennis Zastera for the festival.
Zastera.
As always, thank you for listening. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.